If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like for you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. This morning, in a message entitled, Those Who Divide Cannot Hide, we're going to look at the cause of division within a church that teaches grace and what you and I are to do in response to those who divide over that doctrine. Romans chapter 16, let's stand together as we begin reading in verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now let me point out to you that Paul is not saying, mark the doctrine or mark the division and avoid the division or avoid the doctrine. That's not what he's saying. Mark them, he says, which cause division contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Thank you. You may be seated. All of Romans 16 is Paul greeting and warmly embracing the people at Rome. Salute one another with a holy kiss, we saw last week, which means when you see your fellow brother, give them an embrace. Give them your stamp of approval. That's why these two verses we've just read are so shocking. For 16 verses, he has been saying, warmly accept, warmly embrace your brothers and sisters in Christ. But in these two verses, he says, mark them which cause divisions and avoid them. So on the one hand, you and I are to accept people. But on the other hand, there are some that we are to mark and avoid. Now, he is not referring to people outside the church. He's referring to people in the church. Now, it's probably unusual for you ever to hear anybody within any church say you're to mark and observe people and avoid them. But that is exactly what Paul is saying. This word mark is an interesting word. It's a strong word. It literally means to observe, to put your eye up on, to watch out for, to notice. So who are these people we are to observe or notice or mark? When I was in Tulsa, many of my best friends were police officers that I had won to faith in Christ. And they would take me out, we would travel around, and they would teach me things. In fact, I eventually became a chaplain on a task force that involved the occult. But during the days that I was being trained, we had the night stalker roaming the streets of Tulsa. Eventually, I worked with the men on the task force to catch this individual. He was a brutal criminal. He would walk into restaurants in Tulsa with his partner, and he would steal their watches and their wallets and their purses, and then he'd take those little waitresses and he'd club them with the butt of his shotgun. He would break the jaw of these little girls. I mean, the police really, really wanted to catch this guy. It just so happened that the man who eventually killed him, the police officer, Kevin Johnson, was a man that I had won to faith in Christ, and he shot and killed him when he walked out of a Wendy's restaurant having robbed it and clubbed the little girl behind the counter and blew him back through the plate glass window, and he was dead. But during this time, before he had been killed, Tulsa was terrorized. People were buying guns, they were buying mace. This guy was not only a robber, he was a rapist. But I was taught and trained how to observe people in a restaurant because often we were undercover. And we were to watch people as they came in because criminals have different patterns of behavior. Their eyes are always moving to look at people to see who's noticing them. If they ever catch the eye of somebody, they usually will leave because they don't want to be noticed. You watch their behavior. Sometimes their hands are shaking because they're nervous. And so we were trained how to mark and observe different people. Now that's the very word used in this text. Mark them. Know them. And avoid them. But we're not talking about criminals, we're talking about Christians. Isn't that amazing? Now the question is, who are them? Who are they? Who are we to avoid? Who are the people Paul's referring to? Well, notice what he says. You are to mark them which cause division contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. In other words, the only kind of people that you're to mark and avoid are those who cause division over the doctrine which you have learned. Now remember, you cannot take this verse out of its context. Anytime you take a verse out of its context, you end up with a pretext, a false conclusion. The only way you'll ever know the doctrine which the Romans have learned is to know what Paul has said in the previous 15 chapters, because in those chapters he has taught them doctrine. Now he is saying, warmly greet, warmly embrace, accept, give the stamp of approval to your brothers in Christ, but you mark them which cause division over the doctrine you've learned, and you avoid them. Are you with me so far? Now the question is this, what is the doctrine they learned? Because you'll never be able to identify those who cause division over the doctrine till you understand what the doctrine is. So what is the doctrine? Well, if you haven't been here in our study of Romans, and many of you, you're new to Emmanuel, you've not been in the teaching verse by verse for the last 2 years through this great book, so let me just give you a brief summary regarding the doctrine which the people at Rome learned in the book of Romans. Martin Luther said, the doctrine of justification by faith is the cardinal doctrine of the book of Romans. He also went on to say that it's the cardinal doctrine of the church. So the doctrine that they had learned was the doctrine of justification by faith. Now that still doesn't help some of you. What does it mean to be justified by faith? Well, let me take just a couple of minutes to explain this doctrine again. Justification by faith is a shortened phrase of a longer term. The actual term is justification by grace through faith. But that's kind of long to say, so over time Christians have shortened it to justification by faith. But never forget, never lose sight in your mind that you and I are justified by God's grace. We receive it through faith. But what does it mean to be justified by God's grace? This is the doctrine they learned. And you are to avoid those who cause division contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. Well, justification is a legal term. It comes from the courtroom. And it has the idea of a judge declaring somebody not only just not guilty, but somebody fully obedient to the law. In fact, if you remember, I've tried to help you understand the word justification by this little phrase. To be justified means you're treated just as if you never sinned. For God to justify you means that He declares you, He views you, He receives you into His presence just as if you never sinned. Just as if you were fully obedient to Him. You say, but Pastor, that's not true of me. That's not true. That's not who I am. Ah, now watch. The doctrine that Paul taught was that you receive this justification by the grace of God. It's a gift. And you come to an awareness of it by your faith in Jesus Christ. You trust Him. But you are justified by God's grace. It's not what you do that makes you right with God. It's what He does on your behalf through His Son. It is a righteousness, a goodness that comes from Him and is given to you. This is the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. Now, all of you are saying, yeah, Pastor, I understand that. I believe that. Amen, brother. That's how I was saved. Here's the problem. You not only attain this goodness by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you maintain this goodness by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just salvation. It's daily living. Your goodness is all Christ's. Here's the problem, though. Christians come along and they say this, well, that's how a person is saved. Oh, but you've got to maintain your right standing before God by what you do. In fact, the people that Paul struggled with in Rome, the Judaizers, were very upset with Paul's message. Because when they came to an understanding of justification by grace through faith, it was like they were saying, Paul, wait a second. You're telling people that they are right with God continually because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul, where is the law? You've got to tell people they've got to be obedient to the law. That's how they maintain their good standing with God. And Paul said to those Judaizers, No, sir. It's the doctrine of justification by grace through faith in Christ alone, and never, ever forget it. It's not just being saved one day. You maintain your righteousness through your faith in Christ. Now, folks, I came across a website the other day. It was one of the finest definitions of legalism that I have ever seen in my life. And in this website, there were 12 marks of a person who has lost sight of what it means to maintain one's righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now, listen very carefully. Before I read these, I want you to understand something. You may be in the category of believing that you maintain your goodness before God by what you do and not the righteousness of Christ. You may be in this category. That's all right. I'll fellowship with you. I'll love you. I'll give you a warm embrace. I'll put my arm around you. I'll say, welcome to Emmanuel. We've got a message for you. We want you to be a member here. I want you to be my brother in Christ. Oh, but now watch. If you ever listen to what is taught here and you seek to cause division over the doctrine that is taught, Paul says, mark them, avoid them. Here are those who lose sight of the maintaining of righteousness through faith in Christ. Do you ever feel like you need to meet everyone's expectations and win the approval of your friends and family and church members? Are you convinced that all moral and ethical issues are cut and dried? Gray areas are for people who are soft-headed and soft-hearted? Do you believe that God's love depends on what you do? Do you think that all your problems and the problems of others are all caused by sin? Do you think you fall short because you don't have enough faith, because your faith is not strong enough, because you haven't prayed enough, or because you need to be a better person? Are you convinced that God is predisposed to be angry with you and that your main goal in life is to try to keep God happy by doing things that will impress Him? Is your spiritual life defined and determined by an authoritative charismatic leader or by a controlling physical organization such as a church or group rather than a personal and direct relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Do you tell your children not to do something in church or around church families that you will allow in your own home? Do you believe that you are a member of the one true church and all other Christians are sincere but sincerely wrong and deceived? Do you think a person's character can be determined by their clothing, hairstyle, piercings, or tattoos? Do you worry that people might be taking advantage of grace if it's preached too much and then those people might do anything they want? Do you feel guilty if you don't attend every service and activity of your church? Folks, you may be there and that's all right, but if you're there and then you begin to cause division because you think that the teaching of the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ is wrong, Paul says, mark them, avoid them. Now, before I show you the conduct and character of these people from the text, I hope that, frankly, there's nobody in Emmanuel that's like this. And there very well may not be. You say, well, then why in the world are we dealing with it? Two reasons. Number one, it's in the text. But then number two, watch. If you really are involved in Christian ministries, we are so gullible. Anything that sounds spiritual, anything that sounds good, if we see it on television and they use the name of Jesus Christ, it's like, oh, that's just wonderful. Oh, but listen to the message. Are they trying to convince people that they must shape up, be better, try harder, have more faith in order to be pleasing to God? If that's the message, and they divide the church by causing people to move away from the gospel of grace and Jesus Christ. Paul says just because they use beautiful language and flattery language, they are simply deceiving the naive. You mark them, you avoid them, have nothing to do with them. Now, there are many ministries on television that don't do that. That point you to Jesus Christ and strengthen your relationship with Him and show you the beauty of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and cause you to fall in reverence in His presence. Oh, you support them. You embrace them. But let's take a look at the character and the conduct of those that we are to mark and avoid. First, the conduct. Paul says in our text, they cause separation. Look there at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Again, it's not necessarily the legalist that you are to avoid. No, no, no. It's the legalist who causes division. That's who you're to avoid. As I said, in Paul's day, the Judaizers sought to oppose the gospel and teach that a sinner maintained his goodness before God through the keeping of the law himself. Paul is very clear on this matter. That is a different gospel. And he says in Galatians 1, verse 8, if any man preach any other gospel than the gospel of God's grace through faith and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. But there's a second group, or a second part of the conduct mentioned in our text. He says not only do these people cause separation, they create stumbling blocks. Look there at verse 17. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Do you see this word offense? It's the word obstacle in the NIV. It is the Greek word skandalon. We get our English word scandal from it. It was the word used by the Greeks for the part of the animal trap to which the bait was attached. When the animal sniffed the bait and came and latched hold of the bait, the trap would spring. And the animal would be caught. Now Paul is saying, there may be some in the church who do understand freedom, who do understand what it means to have liberty in Jesus Christ, but they set traps for others. They seek to cause others to stumble. People who have different convictions, people who don't view life the same way as you do in your liberty and your freedom. You who are free, do not set a trap for those who have a different standard. You are to be gracious to them, to be kind to them, and let God work through them. This setting of the trap is the same thing Paul mentions in Romans 14, verse 13, where he says, let no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Folks, there are two groups here. People who understand the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ, but who mock those who are not as free. Paul says, you mark them, and you avoid those who set the traps for people who are in bondage. You see, the fact of the matter is, if you and I have come to an understanding of the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, and others are not as free and do not have the same liberty, let them alone. Let them be who they are. God will teach them in His time. You let them have their standards and convictions, and you respect them, and you give them grace, and you give them the warm stamp of approval. You don't make them like yourself. Those who use their freedom to put a stumbling block in the path of another, to bait a trap, Paul says, you mark them, you avoid them, you have nothing to do with them. On the other hand, the legalist who seeks to cause division over the doctrine of the righteousness of Jesus Christ received by faith in him, you mark them, you avoid them. But he closes by showing us the character of those to avoid. Look what he says there in verse 18. For they, that is those who cause division and offenses, they are such who do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own belly. This simply means they are consumed with self. They do not serve Christ, they serve themselves. Everything revolves around their own comfort, their own pleasure, their own satisfaction. These who oppose the gospel of grace serve themselves, not Christ. Folks, one of the tests that you could always use as a plumb line for whether or not you ought to support a Christian ministry or avoid a Christian ministry is asking yourself this question. What is that ministry more concerned with? Are they more concerned with strengthening my relationship with Jesus Christ and my faith in Him and what He's done for me? Or are they more concerned about my attachment to their ministry? If you ever feel this church or the leadership of this church, including me, ever get to the point where we are more concerned about what you give to our church, what you do for our church, what you mean to our church, than we are about what we can do to strengthen you in your walk with Christ, you leave. We are not to serve ourselves. We are to serve you. It is a shame that Christians raise money in the name of Christ to make themselves comfortable. Yes, the workman is worthy of his hire. Yes, Christian ministries ought to support those who teach the Word of God that is instructed in Scripture. But when you get people who are concerned with their own bellies, rather than simply teaching people how to walk with Christ and trust Him, you have people that you are to mark and observe and avoid. Second, they are concerned with appearances. Verse 18, with smooth words and fair speeches, they deceive the simple. The NIV says, by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the naive. When teachers become more interested in what people think about the way in which the gospel is presented, more than the gospel and the content of the gospel itself, trouble looms. You know, the fact of the matter is, people with strong personalities and charismatic temperaments, people who have energy and charisma, can get people to do whatever they want. That's why Christians particularly ought to be on their guard. We don't follow a man. We don't follow a church. We don't follow an organization. We follow Jesus Christ, and we trust His righteousness as our covering. And that person who with flattery words deceives the naive is to be marked and avoided. Just because it sounds spiritual, just because it sounds good, doesn't mean you're to follow them. You see where I'm getting? You know, which is more important? How things look, how things sound, or what's actually being said? I would propose to you that when a church is more concerned about how it looks or how it sounds than the content of what's being said, you should avoid that church. Finally, they are committed to obtain a following. Every person who causes division or sets traps is looking for a following. They deceive the naive. The Bible is very clear that Christian people are not to follow a man or a movement, We follow Christ. Our mission as pastors is to strengthen your relationship with Christ. But one of the things that you'll find about people who seek to cause division and spring traps is what they want is a following. I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to follow any man. You are to follow Christ. You are to find your satisfaction in Him. You are to receive His righteousness as a gift from Him. You are to say, thank you, God. You say, but Pastor, that's too freeing to me. If I recognize that my rightness and my goodness is maintained by the righteousness of Christ and not my own good works, I don't know how I can handle that. Well, let me just close by speaking from the heart to you. You do realize, don't you, that one of the reasons churches always emphasize the law of God is because churches get filled up with people who are not the people of God. And the only way unregenerate people can ever be kept moral is by emphasizing the law of God. That's what keeps them moral. It puts the fear of God in them. But when you get regenerate people who are part of a church, they don't need the law. All they need is to get to know Christ better. And you will find that when they see and perceive what Christ has done for them, that the love of Christ constrains them. That's the message that Paul gave to Rome. That's the message that is taught here. You may not agree with it. You may not like it. That's okay. We'll still embrace you, give you the stamp of approval. But the moment one of two things happens, you either seek to cause division over the teaching that your righteousness is found in Christ alone, we'll mark you and avoid you. Or the moment you come to liberty and you spring a trap for others who are not as free, we'll mark you and avoid you. My prayer is that nobody at Emmanuel is like that. I really pray that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want you to be that way. And if that's the case, then we may not always agree or see eye to eye, but we'll know where we stand. And we just warmly embrace one another. Because at the foot of Calvary, covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are all equal. And there's not any levels of spirituality among us. We are all co-heirs of Jesus Christ. May God teach us all the power of this truth.